This is the Busted Open Podcast. You can listen to the full show 7 days a week from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation Channel 156.
Welcome to the Sunday edition of the Busted Open Podcast with Justin LaBar, Jonathan Hood with you, and Justin, Cody, and Rock face-to-face on Raw.
Good stuff, good drama, and I love the fact we have something to look forward to somewhere down the line with these two.
Tama Tonga, he joins the Bloodline.
Yeah, the Bloodline is not going anywhere, nor should they be. They're going to continue their dominance, and they got plenty of players to include.
How about New Japan Pro Wrestling in Chicago? We got a chance to see a new champion in Jon Moxley and the scapegoat, Jack Perry, getting a big reaction from the fans in Chicago.
I love getting your firsthand reaction being there. I think that was a great bit of analysis.
And we have so much more. Enjoy the Sunday edition of the Busted Open Podcast. You heard the crowd there in Philadelphia saying that this is awkward. It was not awkward for me, Justin, because that's just more storytelling. Now, it moved slowly, where you had an exchange of the belts and the whole thing that Rock gave Cody, whatever that is. But to me, it's just an extension of what's been going on in the WWE with long-term storytelling.
Well, I think the awkward chance came when Rock wanted to hold the title, and then Cody then was going to hold his. That's where, can I hold yours? Can I, that's where it kind of, it did come off a little like, what's going on here? But you're right. And in the grand scheme, it's all just story. It's all, you know, it's all context. Yeah. And then the whole mystery handing off of an object. This one's been racking my brain all week, Jay Hood, because like, I'm trying to think, like, obviously again, this is going to have, we know it's going to have a payoff. It's going to come back whenever the Rock returns and we build to that match with he and Cody, whenever that is. This is going to come into place. That's great. We got a piece. We have a prop to work with. I'm racking my brain of what it could be, because obviously it's an object that's small enough to be cupped in a hand, right? So you already are narrowing your scope of what's it going to be. You know, is it a watch? Is it a what? You know, my mind partially went to like did Cody gift the Rock Dusty's Hall of Fame ring? And Rock's not in the Hall of Fame yet in the WWE. People probably forget that. You probably feel like he's already in the Hall of Fame. He's not. He's never been in the Hall of Fame yet. Like, is it a Hall of Fame ring? Is it, you know, I'm trying to figure out what object can they tie in that's going to have some kind of storyline relevance to this here. I don't know. I'm racking my brain.
Well, if it fits in his palm, that looks like maybe a ring of some sort, right? Or some kind of pendant of some sort. I'm not sure. I mean, it's got to be palm size. It's something that's a connection to his dad, I believe. And I don't know what that is.
Yeah.
No idea. But that's a good thing.
No, yeah, it's a great thing. It's great. I mean, I'm intrigued. Look, not only are we going to wait excited for The Rock to come back, whenever that might be, 6 months from now, 12 months from now. But, just when I think I'll forget about it. Oh, what was in his hand? What was in his hand? Reveal that. You know, I'm giddy with glee to know what was put in the palm of Cody's hand and told not to break The Rock's heart.
Yeah, don't break my heart again. And I don't know. I think it's something to do with his dad. And I just think that's interesting. I just think the dynamic of those two is so very interesting and so compelling. We can't wait for that matchup, because what we saw was, what we see here is these two going back and forth. And we talked about it during WrestleMania week, how the build looked like Cody versus Rock. That seemed like the most intriguing thing, even though Roman Reigns at the time was Universal Champion and Seth Rollins was part of that tag team match. But the money is in Rock versus Cody. And I can't wait to see that matchup whenever that's going to take place, because it would be The Rock, as good as he was in the tag team match, you know, carrying half the load, him as a singles against Cody will be unbelievable box office.
It will be. And oh, by the way, and I know there were some questions, you know, going into Mania.
Yeah.
What's The Rock going to look like? How's he going to hold up? By the way that he apparently trained just for that tag match, and the way that he looked to perform, and that tag match was, what, 45 minutes long? I mean, it was, and it was not just, you know, Roman doing 40 minutes of the work, Rock coming in for the hot tag for 5 minutes of signature moves. Rock was out there. I have full confidence that at 50, whatever he will be by the time the match happens, that Rock straight up versus Cody, you know, physically will hold up and be what it should be. You know, it got me thinking, like, when do we do this? right? Obviously, you know, we're chock full of PLEs that all hold great weight these days. Obviously, you then have your signature events, your SummerSlams, your WrestleManias. But I got to thinking, you could do that, sure.
Mm-hmm.
But wouldn't it be intriguing if the timeline all worked out? Wouldn't it be intriguing that exactly 1 year later after The Rock resurfaced and after 1 year later after The Rock joined the TKO board, I'm talking early January, what if early January 2025, the first Monday Night Raw on Netflix, we sell the house out for The Rock versus Cody Rhodes? What a move to Netflix. What a statement that would be.
Yes, I would love that myself. Because you just can't come in there with just your regular matches. You're going to have to come up with something that is saying, hey, subscribers, or if you're a non-subscriber, you've got to be able to watch WWE on Netflix, and here's why. And that match is the reason why. That's the reason why. That's the connection. It's very similar to the NFL coming to Amazon. Justin, it's kind of like, oh, God, another streaming service. Yeah, but if you want your Thursday Night Football, if you want to find out what's going on, you need to subscribe. You've got to be able to be an Amazon person. Okay, all right. So I'm going to lock into Thursday Night Football. So the same thing, I think the same thing is with WWE and Netflix. You've got to be able to subscribe. And boy, what a match that would be to get everyone hooked in.
And that's the avenue for the wrestling fan who's not already a Netflix subscriber. But then you also have the, you know, millions of Netflix subscribers who may not have been watching Raw on the regular, but they sure as hell recognize Dwayne The Rock Johnson's face if they're subscribed to Netflix, because probability and odds are they've watched a few of his movies over the last 20 years on Netflix. So it's like all of a sudden you start getting Netflix ads feeding to your algorithm, feeding to your email stuff of see The Rock first singles match, your first one-on-one match in whatever, however many years, and against Cody, you know, whatever. And you start going, well, hell, I'm already subscribed. All right, I'll go over and click on this. And then all of a sudden you see the presentation. You see what Paul Levesque rolls out on the undercard that builds to it. Maybe you got a new Monday Night Raw fan.
Yeah, there's no doubt. Also, in that scenario, you are taking care of the lapsed fan. Someone hasn't watched in 20 years. Like, ah, remember that Monday Night Raw stuff, or remember that Nitro stuff? Well, that was great. Well, now I'm into UFC. Wait a minute now. Rock's back? All right, let me take a look here. Let me hit the purchase button and see what we have here. So, yes, I think that it's been the money all along. And I know that Triple H and the WWE has realized that as well because of the pivot that the WWE made. As we talk about this on the Sunday edition of Busted Open, Jonathan and Justin with you here on Fight Nation Channel 156, because of the pivot that was made. The money's always been there all the time is because we were looking forward to Rock versus Roman. And then the audience, and this is where we win. You know, and I think some fans feel like they don't have a voice even today in 2024 with their social media and getting online talking about the things they like and don't like. We won. That's the whole thing of this iteration of the WWE under Paul Levesque is like, we won because we said, no, we don't want Rock against Roman. Vince would have said, who cares what they want? We're going to get Rock versus Roman. God damn it. That's how it would be. But here's the WWE of today saying, okay, so if we pivot, we got to get Cody Rhodes the championship. How do we do this? And so the same thing here. We're going to eventually get Rock versus Cody because this is what we wanted. I think people would have liked, wouldn't have minded that as the main event of WrestleMania. If there wasn't a championship involved, if it wasn't a story involved, people probably wouldn't mind Rock versus Cody. But of course, with the ramification of the championship, Justin, you can have that. But people cannot wait for these two.
Well, and the other thing that's great about Rock and Cody with the all that's been built up to this now, and I think I'm correct in saying this. Maybe you disagree, which that makes for good radio. I feel like I am ready to see Rock versus Cody, even if Cody's not the champion. So even if somewhere along the way, Cody drops, you know, loses the title, and yeah, that's a whole separate thing of who does he lose the title to, why, whatever, whatever. But even if he's not the champion, whenever Rock comes back from Hollywood, I don't think Cody not being champion lessens the match to me. I don't think. I say that right now as Cody is riding high, freshly, newly as champion. Maybe once I experience him lose the title, maybe I feel differently. But I feel like on paper, it's a box office draw no matter what, because we have whatever was put in Cody's hand, because we have all of the build we just saw and how personal it got. So much of that build to me. I mean, again, because that tag match was not a title match. It affected the stipulation for the title match the next night. But that tag match got so personal. Mama Rhodes, blood, boy, whipping him outside of the bus. This has gotten so personal between Cody and Rock. Again, I don't think it would need to have the world title on Cody, or the world title wouldn't even have to be on the line necessarily. I think that's a great thing, too, is that you have this waiting for whenever you want, sans title.
So I want people to turn up their device just a little bit louder if they can. Just turn up a little bit louder. You got it? So I just want everyone to hear what Justin LaBar is saying. He just told you, everybody, that Cody loses to LA Knight at Backlash. And so now we're getting ready for Cody versus Roman at SummerSlam. That's what he just said. And again, no title will be on the line, but LaBar has just told everybody now, Cody drops the title as a transitional champ to LA Knight. Go right ahead. More on that. Go ahead. That's what you just told everybody, right?
That's what I told.
Well, I mean, LaBar's already got him losing the title. Transitional champ, by God. We're just trying to get it to LA Knight, to France. That's what we're trying to do.
I got Ricky Stark signing with WWE and coming in, and Cody just dropping it to Ricky. And
oh, man. Is it Ricky? Eventually, we get a Ricky Stark's Rock matchup, and like, oh my God. Like, we're going to get that, right? So,
if this show ends and I go on the internet and I see some wrestling websites picked up and is quoting this with sincerity, you're gonna be fielding a stern phone call from me this Sunday afternoon there, Jay Hood. This sunny Sunday is not gonna be so sunny, Pittsburgh or south side of Chicago, pal.
Well, one thing for sure, the aggregators are going to aggregate now. They're going to write whatever they want to write, as you well know. Like, whether it's you're misquoted or not, whether it's me gaslighting you or not, the point is that people are going to they're going to say, did you see what Justin said? He says Cody Rhodes transitional champion. So that's going to happen. But I would say, yes, that ultimately it's the personalities. It's more than just Cody being the champion. It's just that it's Cody versus Rock on its head. Just those two back to go, because the story is stronger than the title in that situation. Look, we all like a good championship. There's so many in wrestling today, but ultimately it's just those two second generation wrestlers going back and forth. We've heard, I mean, they can put together an hour promo package if they wanted to between these two. I mean, The Rock has told a story about Soul Man, Rocky Jones, and Dusty Rhodes being friends up and down the roads in the territories, all that stuff that they've talked about. It's been great, and it's going to culminate into what I think is going to be a great match. I really do. Whenever that happens, by the way, championship or not. However, with The Rock having the championship on his shoulder in Philly for Monday Night Raw, it just adds to the B-roll. They say in TV, when they do the package, you could see what The Rock would look like with that beautiful championship on his shoulder. And then that People's Championship, whatever that was, that Cody had, it's on his shoulder. I just think that was a good look. Rock as the WWE champion with that belt on, he looked fantastic.
If I may.
Yes.
Okay. Please turn your devices up one more notch.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Turn it up. There you go. Let's say Cody still is champion. And it comes time for he versus Rock. Mm-hmm. And that title then naturally is on the line, that WWE world title, Undisputed world title. Mm-hmm. And Cody says, this WWE world title is on the line only if you put your people's championship on the line. That title you so proudly covet that was given to you from the Ali family and that you tout cements you as these people's champion. If I'm defending what I worked for to finish my story, you defend that.
Sure.
Stakes are raised.
Sure.
Something we all watched get gifted to The Rock on a Hall of Fame night that he walks around with. If Cody says, I'll put mine up, if you put yours. Now, all of a sudden, it makes that awkward segment on Raw of each of them holding those titles, looking at them. All of a sudden, now, that B-roll becomes far more valuable in the hype package.
The Busted Open Podcast is now available on YouTube. This is Dave LaGreca, host of Busted Open, the number one pro wrestling show on the planet. You can now watch and listen to the award-winning Busted Open Podcast every single day on YouTube. Our best interviews, behind-the-scenes access, and some of our best content from the past, all available right now when you go to youtube.com/@Busted Open Podcast. Subscribe right now.
I tell you what, Justin, how about that? Tama Tonga joins the Bloodline. He's in WWE. It finally happened.
And that sound right there from Corey Graves and Barrett, great quick sound bites of, do you know who that is? That's Tama Tonga. Yep. He's been wrecking shop in Japan. He's a son of Haku. Well, now he's wrecking. I mean, it was just gave you so much information so quickly.
Yep.
I loved it. Great job by both of them.
It tells a story, Justin, of, okay, who is this guy? And it just adds on to the lineage. And this is why storytelling will always trump your 6 and 7 and 8 and 10 star matches. Because what we saw in the press conference is, you remember at WrestleMania, that tree, the Bloodline, showing all the lineage of great Samoan wrestlers over the years, going through decades and decades and decades of great Samoan wrestlers and the heritage and the family, and how it's all connected, how it blends in. The Rock and Roman Reigns is showing that Bloodline. It's like, okay, that planted a seed. That plan to see that it's just more than just Afa and Sika. It's more than just Haku. It's more than just Tamina Snuka. Like, there's more to us than what you've seen on television, you know, on WWE TV. There's so much more. And so now you get a Tama Tonga. He fits in perfectly. He comes right in and he does damage. So as we set up the story, here it is. You have Solo Sikoa and Paul Heyman. And you have Jimmy Uso there, and they're trying to explain, like, hey, no excuses. You know, we failed at WrestleMania to get the job done. We did not do right by the Tribal Chief. The Tribal Chief is no longer the champion. And so here we go. Here is, now finally, Solo Sikoa starts to speak up for himself, pretty much taking the microphone away from Paul Heyman. And then there is a look at Jimmy Uso, like, hey, man, you lost your match. And all of a sudden, here comes Tama Tonga coming out of nowhere. You know, the key for me wasn't even Tonga. Justin, the key for me was that Solo Sikoa is speaking for himself. And by the way, that's a build, too. Here's a silent killer. They're looking like, what did Cena say? Like, almost like Taz? Like a bargain basement Taz? That's what he said, or something along those lines. But he didn't say anything. But now his words matter. Because he's speaking in complete sentences, and he has his thoughts about what's going on with the Bloodline. Him speaking was the key to that whole segment. Like, wait. If Solo's speaking, now hang on a second. He didn't say anything. He seems pissed off now. What's on his mind? So I think the key was him speaking, the hug to Jimmy Uso to set up Tonga coming into the ring.
Yes. To have Paul Heyman, the wise man, the man who is the most fluent on the microphone, to have him be interrupted and shushed by, as you said, the silent killer. Mm-hmm. And now that silent killer has a voice. And then the way Solo handled the... Because everything's... I mean, look, you only got one shot at this. We're live, pal. You only got one shot at this.
That's right.
And so the way you say it, where you're standing, how quick or how slow you move to Jay to reveal Jay is the change that you are referencing, that all is key. If you go too slow, too fast, what have you, not everything clicks the way that it did. But Solo had this perfect. The way he interrupted Heyman, the way he started quoting Heyman from earlier about change and about consequences and winning and losing matters.
Mm-hmm.
And then going to Jay, and like you said, the hug, like, I love you, but we're getting ready to put you out of your misery. I mean, it was very well done. And you're right. If that doesn't go... If that doesn't hit on the same emotional beat, then Tama Tonga's attack doesn't hit on the same beat. And so, again, this shows you the Bloodline is going to continue on. You don't need Roman there every week. The Bloodline is growing, here's the next version of it. And I thought this was a great introduction of it.
And here's why this was a smooth transition for Tonga to be in the WWE. You don't have to be the most ardent New Japan fan to understand what this story is. Oh, it's someone else from a Samoan heritage that's being part of this story now. But the impact, the way you put the boots to and just hammered away at Jimmy Uso, told you all you needed to know. Just showed you the strength of this guy, the way he looks, the power that he was able to showcase on SmackDown in Detroit. This is a guy here that's a four-time overweight champion. A never open weight champion, also a longtime tag team champion with the Gorillas of Destiny. And so I look at this guy, and I've been watching him for years and saying, man, this guy, if he ever goes to the next level, meaning the WWE, he could really be able to be a factor. I just think this is just scratching the surface of what this story is. Just when you thought the bloodline was over without Roman Reigns, there's so much more. I've been calling for this for a year now, Justin. I said, there's more Samoans coming. There has to be more Samoans coming. And here we go. It starts with Tonga, but you know more is coming.
Yeah, and that's what's great about the bloodline is that it's based on, you know, it's based on a true bloodline, but there is so much to give. There's so much to choose from, so many to have involved. And they took their time. They haven't rushed things. I mean, obviously the way that they had the story for a year building to 39 with, you know, Jimmy, Jay, Roman, and then the one outsider of Sami Zayn trying to be part of the bloodline. And then the way they've gotten as much as they've gotten out of from 39 to 40 with the bloodline and with Solo and establishing him. I mean, they are milking and taking their time each go around so that it's like, yeah, we got more Samoans coming, but they're letting it breathe. They're not adding, it's not NWO style. We're not adding a new person every single week. They're making it make sense. They're making it matter. And look, Tonga, this is going to be, as you just illustrated, he's got credibility and history already. Bullet Club ties, correct? Was part of the Bullet Club.
That's right.
There's a lot to work with there. And then, yeah, being the son of Haku, that's going to be fun to. I love that the Graves mentioned it right there in the introduction. But it'll be fun to see how they play with this because Haku. All due respect to Haku, Haku's not revered for 5-star WrestleMania matches or these big WrestleMania moments or anything. Haku is very much revered for the legend that is around the man and how tough he is. And so I'll be curious how they parlay Tama Tonga on WWE TV with that legacy. Like, you know what I mean? I'll be, you know, he's not going in there with the last name Rhodes. He's not going in there with the last name DiBiase, the last name Orton. He's not going in there with a last name that has a lot of lineage in the business. He's going in with his own name, Tama Tonga, being referenced as the son of Haku. And again, it's not remember when Haku beat so and so in the Garden in 1985? No, remember when Haku ripped the eyes out of that guy at the bar? Like, so this would be fun to see here what they do with this.
I mean, you can tell that story if you want. I mean, you can have a package of like, this is the son of Haku, and just show Haku just, you know, with the jab right to the throat and just like the Tongan death grip and stuff he had in WCW. I mean, he was a king, Haku. He was all those things, but just through the stories, the annals of time, we know that Haku is a tough guy. So if Tonga's going to be anything like him, you can tell that story. Like, Haku is a tough guy. I'm sure Corey Graves will do that. Like, oh, he was a really tough guy. So he's a son of one of the toughest wrestlers that we've ever seen. Now, again, these are just stories. The toughness has never been in the ring necessarily as far as him, like, taking liberties with other wrestlers, that kind of thing. Usually in bars. Usually in parking lots, and rightfully so. And now the guy that's chuckling on the dark side of the ring, that's what he's known for now, laughing at Fred. I love you, just like laughing. But I just think this is great. Now, as Susumu tells us, now three of the original four founding members of the Bullet Club are in WWE. That is Carl Anderson, shout out to Carl Anderson, Finn Balor, and Tama Tonga. So now they're all part of it. And that's, you know, this is Bullet Club. If you're into that, he's part of that as well. So this is going to be really intriguing because there's more to come. You know, Jacob Fatu's coming. He's on his way to WWE. So there's going to be more. So when Paul Heyman says, you know, we're just rounding into the third inning or the fourth inning, he said, this isn't the bottom of the ninth. There's more to this. There's more pages to the magazine when it comes to the bloodline. And as we talked about in our number one, at some point, it's going to be so many different Samoans, so many different moving parts. Roman will return and say, well, what? Well, I'm not the tribal chief anymore. Somehow, some way, Roman looks like a complete babyface out of all this because he's going to be pushed out. You're no longer the Universal Champion. And so now this is the bloodline of a guy that we haven't heard a lot from, and that's Solo Sikoa.
Real quick on Roman, and we earlier we said how, you know, he's going to come back as a babyface,
mm-hmm.
And I think we agree. And like I said, even the fans' appreciation already now that Cody got to finish the story, there's like an appreciation for Roman. And we talked earlier about The Rock eventually coming back versus Cody. And in that situation, Rock's going to be heel again. Do you think that whenever we do get The Rock versus Roman, because they're going to go to that pay window too eventually? Do you think that it's heel Rock versus babyface Roman?
I think so.
Yeah,
I think so. Rock doesn't seem like he's turning anytime soon. And it's still just very weird. Yes, he's a heel, but still a respected wrestler where he's getting babyface cheers. He's not trying to be cool. He's just who he is. He's got to be able to do more of the mean stuff that we saw leading into WrestleMania from to solidify his heel persona, The Rock. But, I mean, yeah, I could see that. Absolutely. But who's booing The Rock? That's the thing. At a WrestleMania or a big PLE, who's really booing The Rock? Who's really going after him?
I mean, the wrestling fans have shown they're willing to play along with this.
Sure, sure, you know? Especially with The Rock.
Right? Yeah. So
we're gonna, go ahead.
And it's crazy to think about because I mean, for all the years that we waited and clamored and fantasy booked for The Rock to return to WWE and fight Roman Reigns, we assumed it would be, you know, the all loving and everybody loves babyface Rock against heel Roman Reigns, and that's what they started to do at the start of this year until the big audibles called. But now as we sit a week removed from Mania, we're at such to where I asked the question to you. We're like, I think it makes more sense not to have face Roman versus heel Rock. And that's just a wild switch.
877-344-4893. 877-FIGHT93 is our phone number. Tama Tonga is now part of the Bloodline. We're getting your reaction to it. Susumu is a big, not just a big wrestling fan, but also a big fan of New Japan. Before we turn to the nation, Susumu, I mean, this is big news. We knew it was coming. We saw this on social media, like someone saw Tonga at the airport. My God, man, do a better job of covering yourself. Don't be out there for everyone to see. But finally, he comes to Detroit. He's there at SmackDown. I just think this is big to just keep the storyline of the Bloodline continuing.
You know, the one thing that I want to say was that I'm honestly like, are you guys as shocked as I was that they just immediately took Tama Tonga, who I thought like he's not really like the more like a well-known name or like a big star compared to some of the other fellow Bullet Club members that have signed on to WWE before? Like, I was shocked that they even hotshotted him into the storyline and put him right into the main roster. Because you think that someone that maybe he starts in NXT, that's what I thought was going to happen. But the fact that they believe in him enough to put him straight into the Bloodline storyline, it tells me that they really like this guy and that they really trust him.
He's a star to us. Right? Because we've seen him. I mean, he's been a great tag team wrestler. Very solid singles wrestler in New Japan. To us, he is. And again, to the WWE audience, if you're just in the WWE, you haven't seen him or you're not familiar with him. But to us, it's a big deal. You know, to me, Susumu, with him just being a piece of it, it's not them jettisoning him to the top of the card. It's just like, hey, here's a piece. And now another piece is coming. Another piece is coming. I just think that this is like incremental storyline telling by Triple H.
Yeah, this is good stuff. I'm just looking at him. I didn't realize he's as old as he is already at 41. He looks good for. I thought he was a bit younger. I didn't realize he was.
Kayfabe,
he was rocking the like the silver gray like bearding look at the tail end of his New Japan run, and seems like he touched up a little bit to really look menacing out there.
But you're excited, he looks great. Right? But Susumu, you're excited, right? I mean, this is what you've invested in him and the Bullet Club for a lot of years.
Yeah, I'm genuinely excited for him because this is someone he really like started from the ground up in New Japan. He joins up as one of the original four members of Bullet Club, and he was the guy eating most of the pins for them. And then afterwards, once some of the main guys, they started to go coming in and then going out. So like AJ, Carl Anderson and Luke Gallows, they make their move to WWE. He had to be the guy that's a step up for them. And for the most part, ever since that happened, like from 2016 onwards, he really stepped up for New Japan and took on as one of the top foreign guys that they had. And he really just evolved and became an excellent wrestler. And now seeing him reach WWE finally, it's just kind of an amazing thing, like, because this was a decades long journey for him.
Yeah, this is, I just think this is fun. It just, again, it just brick by brick, they just continue to tell the story of the bloodline. It's not going anywhere anytime soon. It's not going away. So it's a lot of fun.
Yo, what's going on? This is Bully Ray from Busted Open on SiriusXM's Fight Nation. For 15 years, we've brought you the best pro wrestling talk on the planet. And now, we're bringing you even more. Yo, guys, welcome to Busted Open After Dark. Every Wednesday night, as soon as AEW Dynamite ends, I'm bringing you instant reactions with the Busted Open Nation. The only place to party on Wednesday nights is Busted Open After Dark. With me, Uncle Bully. Download it on Apple, Pandora, or wherever you get your podcasts.
On behalf of Busted Open, I went to Windy City Riot, New Japan. Haven't seen a show since 2022. They were at the Odeon in Villa Park, suburban Chicago. That was the last event, as a matter of fact, in that building, that old building.
And well, so you haven't seen a live wrestling show, or haven't seen a New Japan show since 2022?
Haven't seen a live New Japan show.
Okay.
Since 2022, when they were here. And so, Windy City Riot, I go into the Wintrust Arena, the home of the DePaul Blue Demons and the Chicago Sky WNBA team. I think it's a really good arena, Justin. You know it when you see it, right? It's not 15,000 seats. It's not 20,000 seats. It's a good 8,000-9,000 seater. And it was about, I would say, about 6,500, almost 7,000 people in there. So it was a really good crowd, really good house, first of all. So I get there. And I'm looking forward to seeing a lot of matches, but in particular, John Moxley. Because I believe it's been going around on Thursday. Did you predict Moxley would beat Naito for the IWGP Championship? Because Nemeth asked me on Friday. I said, Moxley's going over. Did you have Moxley winning that match?
I kind of figured if he was in the match that would be what was happening. But it's quite the accomplishment. It really is when you look at his career and body of work.
I want to dig into that with it. So what do you think of Moxley in his career?
I think he's done really well holding true to himself. Obviously, he goes to WWE, which is where everybody wants to make it. You know, you're not going to be John Moxley. We're going to give you a new name. You're Dean Ambrose. And you can't do some of these things. You can't say some of these things. You got to do this. So, you know, obviously, Shield was very successful. Post-Shield, rough go. Because he wasn't comfortable. And also, they gave him, you know, very bad creative, I think back to that WrestleMania match against Brock Lesnar. On paper, you tell me Dean Ambrose / John Moxley gets to have and I want to say it was even a no DQ match, maybe. You tell me that, you know, he gets to have a WrestleMania match with Brock Lesnar. Oh, this is going to, you know, batten down the hatches. The thing's going to get crazy. And it was such a disappointment, but I think he was very handcuffed with who he wanted to be. Obviously, AEW has been a great resurgence for John Moxley and who he is, and then getting to work with New Japan simultaneously at the same time. It's a career that cannot be denied. And I mentioned the Shield. How crazy is it that we have Reigns as champion for 1,300 plus days. Rollins have been champion for last year on the other world title. They both lose their world title on the same day. And then just a few days later, Moxley picks it up. Don't worry, boys. I'll get a world title back for us here in the business.
Yeah.
The Shield always on top.
It is. And I think that's a whole documentary in itself, like post-Shield, what has happened with the three of these guys and how much success that they've had. He's held over 14 championships. And here's what resonates, because I saw a picture of this on social media. Him holding a New Japan championship, AEW heavyweight championship, WWE championship. Now, I thought at the time, there's no way that he should be WWE champion. I mean, it was almost a hot potato title. Like, I know that Vince liked him, but it was almost transitional. Like, I never saw him as a top guy in the WWE as far as heavyweight champion. I always thought Intercontinental, if he goes on his own, really have some bigger matches, but he was on top. You take nothing away from John Moxley because he's had quite the career. Because some thought, not really a tough guy. Not necessarily a guy that you'd feature. He's been in the top spot and has flourished in it. I watched this match against Naito. And I think the crowd, the audience in Chicago knew something special was going to happen. Here's John Moxley walking through the crowd at Wintrust. People are into him. And, of course, Moxley, if it's a Moxley match, it's going to be some blood. And it happened, and he hit a gusher. And people were behind Moxley. You would think Moxley AEW, people know who he is, but people were into, and everything that he did, they were into Moxley. And then he wins, and there's this big pop for John Moxley to win a championship. I think that he's proven a lot of people wrong. And I think when you hear his promos, we talk about Cody Rhodes being real. John Moxley's real too, because I still think he has a chip on his shoulder, even though he won the championship. In his promo, he says, "I don't care what organization I root for, that I work for. I don't care what title I have. I'm just telling stories, and I'm trying to beat people up." And I think that's pretty true to himself. Like, doesn't matter where he's wrestling, he wants to prove that he is a top guy.
You mentioned chip on his shoulder. He does feel like a guy that's never going to be complacent. I mean, we've just rattled off the accolades. You mentioned how many titles he's won, and obviously he's been now champion for those three, you know, for those three different promotions. I feel like he's never going to feel settled or satisfied. Mm-hmm. And that's intriguing. That's just to constantly see John Moxley going out there acting like he's got that much more to prove. And we know to what lengths he'll go to entertain the audience and to prove. So it's one of those things where, not that I thought he would anyways, I don't feel like he could ever go back to WWE and beat Dean Ambrose again. And of course that's the name they own. And that's the name that's going to be in the Shield documentary. But John Moxley is who he's true to. That's him. You know, I was real quick, funny story, Jay Hood. I was such a John Moxley fan when I discovered him on his last little bit on the Indies before he got signed to FCW.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so like, oh, I cannot wait for this guy to get called up. Cannot wait for him to get, watch him do a dark match or two in front of a Raw. Got me excited. To the point of then I did not watch Survivor Series live. I was having Thanksgiving in Hawaii on the night that the Shield debuts, and there he is. And I was so mad that I missed the debut, and I was like, oh my God, the thing I've been talking up and waiting. And Shield was great. And then when Shield broke up, I thought, okay, here's a chance for me to see him as a single star in WWE. It's going to be great. And yes, he won the world title, but like you said, it didn't feel like it was right then. And most of his creative and most of his performance as Dean Ambrose as a singles just did not feel like I'm getting the full version of this guy as John Moxley in AEW and New Japan. We are. And I don't know what's next for him. I don't know what else there is to accomplish, but John Moxley is definitely going down in the pro wrestling Hall of Fame for what he's been able to do.
When I think about seeing John Moxley, Dean Ambrose, when he first came on the scene, and I've seen this on YouTube several times, William Regal was an announcer with Jim Ross in Florida for Florida Championship Wrestling. This is in 2010, 2011. And the program that Regal and Ambrose did was so interesting. Regal's already established veteran. And he's taking on Dean Ambrose. And Ambrose, that was a really good matchup. I really liked that because it really catapulted Dean Ambrose to the next level, taking on a veteran like William Regal. I saw some of those gritty promos, as you mentioned, when he was in the Indies. He's got a cage behind him or a fence behind him, and he's like in an alley, and you hear dogs barking. I'm like, boy, this guy's just raw. Like, when he makes it, boy, he's going to be something. And so just that kind of – you think about this, Justin, because I know you work with young talent all the time. The idea that – and I'm not going to do it behind a green screen. I'm not going to do it just in a sterile environment. I'm going to take you to the streets, and I'm going to film me in the streets. I'm going to tell you who I am, this rough kid from Cincinnati that is undesirable. No one really likes me, but you know what? I'm going to come out, and I'm going to be a fighter. I like that because it was totally different even from the Indies to where he is right now.
Do you remember he was signed to WWE again? He was still in the system, but he not yet debuted as the Shield. Do you remember the viral video of he and Mick Foley in the hotel that they were going to try to do, and then it didn't pan out? Basically, it was at a WrestleMania weekend, 2011 or 2012. I don't remember which WrestleMania weekend it was, but I'm pretty sure it was WrestleMania weekend, and there was a video that looked very – it looked like something that Triple H today would do. It would look like something very – looked like something, you know, done by accident, that this cell phone video surfaced, and it was Moxley approaching Foley as Foley's at the hotel and his fans and all this, and like cutting a promo on him, but you know, having to be held back, and looks like he's being disrespectful to a veteran wrestler and cutting a promo. And I think it was basically essentially like, it's because of you that guys like me, you know, decided to, we saw that, oh, this is what we have to put our body through. This is the kind of life we have to live to make it. And it's all because of you. You know, like, it was basically blaming him for the hardcore style and what have you. And it got buzz. And again, it was kind of like, is this real? Is it not? It was not heavily produced WWE cameras. It was, again, cell phone kind of footage. I think Foley somewhere once said the story that it was going to continue on and turn into something, but Foley, I don't think, could get medically cleared. And so it just never happened. And I always think, like, God, like, what, you know, would that have been a better debut for the man, John Moxley, than the Shield? Would that have let John Moxley truly been his true self versus Shield Dean Ambrose? It's all a big game of what if, but obviously it's worked out for him. Okay. But I always think back to that.
Yeah, we're talking about New Japan right here on Busted Open. Jonathan and Justin with you. The coup de grace, the cherry on top, is Jack Perry. And this is in the middle of the card. There is Jack Perry against Umino. Let me tell you something. Everyone in the arena could not wait to see Jack Perry. Now, you think about this. Now, you got John Moxley. We mentioned Zack Sabre Jr., David Finlay, you know, Gabe Kidd, Minoru Suzuki's on the card, all this. Justin, as I entered the Wintrust Arena, oh, cry me a river, oh, cry me a river, chant all over the arena before the show started. Cry me a river chants. They could not wait to see Jack Perry. Because of all the controversy that happened on Wednesday on Dynamite, they couldn't wait to see him. He comes out there with the American flag over his shoulders. I'm sorry, the Chicago flag over his shoulders. And you know the Chicago flag because it's got the stars and the light blue and the red. And he just drops it and just steps on it as he goes to the ring, to the arena. Steps on the Chicago flag. So that gets heat. And he just was just a heat magnet. But there was a Cena-type feeling in the building where there was cheers for Jack Perry and vociferous boos for Jack Perry. It was amazing, just the pressure cooker that was there, because there's just so much reaction. Cheers and boos for Jack Perry. And he ends up losing the matchup against Umino, but the point is, like, he did the go to sleep, okay? He puts his hands on his head, go to sleep. He does a GTS. He did all the things. He put Umino in a front face lock, just like Punk did to him in the backstage in Wembley. So he did all the little moves that knew that they would trigger the audience, and it was just an amazing reaction to Jack Perry, all based on what we saw with the footage on Dynamite.
Is he going to get that same reaction? Assuming he's going to show up on Dynamite eventually, is he going to get that same reaction on Dynamite, you think?
I think it can be mixed. But here's the key, though. I'm in Chicago, and people are cheering Jack Perry and saying FCM Punk. We got a lot of FCM Punk chants in Chicago.
That's interesting.
So, but ultimately he wins, though, doesn't he, Justin, in that regard?
Well, Jack Perry wins. Look, milk as much money as you can out of it right now, Jungle Jack. It's good that you're getting kind of a reason. You know, it's good that your heel persona is getting this surge. But I go back to what we said earlier. We talked about the footage being shown and the entire decision making on Dynamite. He can't go to the pay window. He can't have a match with CM Punk. Like for real, do you think CM Punk and WWE are going to hire Jack? No. You know, this is the height of Jack Perry's fame, it feels like. And that sucks because he can't get any payoff for it. So, you know, what are you going to go around doing CM Punk troll and Cry Me River for the next 5 years? I think the attention's going to sustain. No, it's hot right now because we just saw the footage 2 days earlier in the case of Friday. But so that's the whole problem with all this. I hope he can find some way in this heel persona to develop some things that can live on beyond CM Punk connections.
Well, it just becomes a troll faction, Justin, because I see Jack Perry being part of this new elite. He will line him because we already saw one of the Young Bucks with a scapegoat T-shirt.
Yeah.
As far as I can tell, Jack Perry's going to be in AEW. But again, to your point, so everywhere he goes, when he comes through the curtain, CM Punk, who wrestles for a different company. CM Punk thing. You got punked out by CM Punk. You didn't fight back, that kind of thing. So either way, it's a reaction. And again, Jack Perry wins. I'm just saying that you have to advance the character for him to be a monster heel somehow, some way, beyond the CM Punk controversy, if you could tell that story.
If you can. I mean, you know, you're already visually handicapped with the fact that he's the size that he is. So I also question why, if he's still under AEW contract, which we assume he is, why, if you're Tony Khan, you have him show up first at New Japan? Where he, oh, by the way, he just lost. Like you just said, like what?
He lost, yeah.
Why not save him to roll him out on your television show? That's another thing I don't quite understand the thought process to.
Storytelling. They'll know how to tell that story because of all of the pitfalls around it. If you think about it, there's a way to tell that story. All I know is that, and Tony Khan was there, by the way. He was in Chicago for New Japan. He was in the back, but he was there. And I don't know. I would like to know what that relationship was like. Did he speak to Jack Perry while he was in the back? I have no idea. All I know is that Jack Perry, I think, is headed to AEW, and the reaction he got. And again, in Chicago, I don't know if that works in Highland Heights, Kentucky, if they understand that. But the idea that he's got, you know, you get a chance of scapegoat and Cry Me a River and like an anti-hero, though. That's the thing. Like in Punk's town, and it's like, you know, FCM Punk, who cares about him? We're into Jack Perry because they support Jack Perry because... or Chance of Real Glass. We want Real Glass. A lot of that. Everything that was around Wembley was a positive chant for the fans of Chicago when they saw Jack Perry come out. It's just this is the same card again with Eddie Kingston on it, Zack Sabre Jr. on it, Matt Riddle on it, Naito, Moxley, Ishii, Suzuki, all these people, but no one got the reaction like Jack Perry. In a loss, by the way.
If he pops up at Dynasty, which is in what, St. Louis, let's see if the St. Louis crowd reacts the same way.
It was a great time. I had a great time watching because it's something different that we'd normally watch live. But the fans are just, they know everything that's happening in New Japan. That was a fun time on Friday.
Busted Open is part of the SiriusXM Sports Podcast Network. If you enjoyed this episode and want to hear more, please give a 5-star rating and leave a review. Subscribe today wherever you stream your podcast. Catch the full 3 hours of Busted Open every day of the week at 9 a.m. Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation, channel 156. Go to SiriusXM.com/BustedOpenTrial to start your free trial today.